You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Crown Mineral Amendment Bill was introduced to Parliament last Tuesday. Public submissions on the bill close tomorrow. This gives the public only 4 business days to make their submissions on the bill, significantly shorter than their average submission time. The bill's aiming to reverse the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration, something the coalition government campaigned on. The government's also cut down the normal 6-month select committee process, wanting the bill to be passed before the end of the year. Greenpeace says the short public submission time on the bill shows the government have a complete disregard for people in New Zealand who care about climate change. I spoke to Greenpeace Executive Director Russell Norman about his concerns surrounding the 4-day submission time and what impacts the ban reversal will actually have on the environment. The public has been given only 4 days to submit on the government's oil and gas exploration bill. The government has been rushing this bill through, wanting it implemented by the end of the year. Why do you think they're wanting to rush this process so much?
Well, I mean, they clearly have no interest in what the public thinks, and so they're just trying to force through this bill, which basically allows offshore oil and gas exploration to restart, or at least it allows them to issue the permits to try to get it restarted. And they're obviously very keen to do that as part of their broader war on nature. They're keen to restart oil and gas exploration, so they're just trying to force it through.
How do you think this shortened public submission time is going to have an impact? Do you think it'll have an impact on the outcome of the bill?
Well, I think it'll certainly mean that it's much more difficult for the public to make submissions. So I think there'll be fewer public submissions. I think it will certainly have an impact in terms of the quality of the conversation at Select Committee and in Parliament, given that they're essentially excluding the public largely. But in terms of the outcome, I mean, I guess the government signalled it's not going to listen and it's pretty committed to climate change denial. I mean, it's a climate change denying government. So I think, you know, they're pretty clear they're going to proceed to try to restart oil and gas exploration. I don't think they'll be successful at getting oil and gas exploration underway again, but certainly they're going to give it a shot.
So what are the main environmental concerns that come with reversing the ban on oil and gas exploration?
So there's the really big one, obviously, is climate change. So the International Energy Agency, which is the premier agency for modelling energy globally, has said that if we want to avoid more than 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees of warming, can't afford to burn existing fossil fuels, known fossil fuel reserves. So anyone that's going around looking for new fossil fuels is essentially a climate change denier, because they're saying, you know, we're going to try to find new fossil fuel reserves and burn them. And so if you're serious about climate change, you have to stop exploring. In fact, we can't afford to use what we've already found. So the first effect is climate change. The second effect is the process of exploration. So they use these giant seismic arrays which blast the ocean with these high-pitched sounds for months on end. And so the impact on marine animals is quite profound, particularly cetaceans, whales, other mammals in the ocean. So there's a huge impact of just the seismic surveying, looking for oil and gas. And then the third impact, of course, is the risk of oil spills. So Deepwater Horizon was a giant oil spill in the United States. And so if we had something like that happen in New Zealand, we'd probably have a worse outcome, because we have a lot less equipment available to actually plug the wells. So you've got the oil spill risk. So you kind of have this tiers. You've got climate change problems, which are, you know, basically should be an absolute bottom line. And then you've got the impact of the seismic surveying, looking for oil on marine mammals, and then you've got the oil spill risk.
So it's only been 6 years since the implementation of the ban. What changes have we seen since 2018? And now that the government want to reverse that ban, is that a whole lot more work to reverse all of that when it's kind of not been around for that long?
Well, I mean, the ban when it came in, basically what it said is there's not going to be any new permits issued for offshore oil and gas exploration. So the government at the time didn't cancel the existing permits. So there was a bit more exploration happened. Essentially, they haven't found anything much of any significance, and they've been looking for quite a long time. It's been a long time since there's been a significant find. So you've seen the level of fossil gas reserves slowly decline over time. And fossil gas demand's been declining as well. And, of course, the biggest consumer of fossil gas in New Zealand is Methanex, which turns it into methanol, which gets used in the plastics industry and elsewhere. And so about 40% of all the gas, the fossil gas, is used for that. And they're in the process of closing, essentially. So what we're seeing is that there's a drop in supply, but there's also a drop in demand over time. There's more than sufficient fossil gas left to run the transition, so there's still a few fossil gas power stations remaining. And there's a bit of gas still used on the network for homes as well as some businesses. But we're going to see the electrification of those uses over time. So there's absolutely no need for any more fossil gas in New Zealand. We've got plenty to transition to full renewable energy. So the good thing is that, we're well into that process. The government obviously is trying to turn the clock back to the 1950s when climate change wasn't a thing that anyone cared about. I don't think they're going to be very successful, but they will disrupt the process of transitioning away from fossil fuels, which is, you know, one of the problems with what they're up to, is that it's going to make it a bit harder and slower to make the transition away from fossil fuels. But they'll struggle to stop it entirely because of climate change, and also because renewable energy is so much cheaper than fossil fuels. It's hard for them to stop, but they're going to do their damnedest.
What should the government be doing instead in order to sustain our climate, particularly when it comes to energy resourcing?
Well, I mean, you know, New Zealand's in a great place when it comes to energy. So the Electricity Authority, which is the regulator, you've got Transpower, which is the grid operator. There's a whole bunch of models which have been done now. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment just this year released their electricity modelling. And so what you see is that we can electrify transport, which is a great option. So that's both, you know, mass transit, but also individual cars and trucks as well, light trucks. We can electrify a lot of industrial processes. So that's a bit of the industrial plants that currently use gas or coal. And what that does is it increases the demand for electricity, but it actually reduces demand for energy because electricity is so much more efficient. So the amount of energy the New Zealand economy will need will be lower once we electrify transport industrial processes, and we'll be able to generate that electricity from renewable sources on shore, so we need to increase renewable energy electricity generation, and we can save ourselves $8 billion a year on imported transport energy, which is what we're spending on oil and petroleum products to run the transport fleet. So there's a really clear pathway that's set up now to decarbonise the energy system in New Zealand, and it's a lot cheaper because renewable energy is just so much cheaper than fossil fuels, and it's also much better, obviously, for the climate, not to mention air quality in our major urban centres. So, yeah, there's actually a great pathway that's open to us. I mean, we've kind of got this government which is engaged in a 1950s-style culture wars, you know, where they're trying to, you know, run the culture wars against anyone trying to do anything about climate change. But in terms of the actual energy strategy of New Zealand, there's a relatively clear pathway. Once these jokers move on, then the current government, then I think we can get back to actually making those steps.
That was Greenpeace Executive Director Russell Norman on public submissions to the Crown Mineral Amendment Bill.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.